answer is 11 minutes. 11 long minutes. This seems like eternity, when right now we can experience this in seconds. 11 minutes. Now, if the answer is 11 minutes, then I'm sure you want to know what the question is. The question is simply this: how long did it used to take for a picture to be seen once you took it? Now, this would blow the minds of teenagers, right? Like, how long did it take to see a picture after you take it? I was talking to my buddy Skip this week and talking about, you know, he's a photographer in the good old days of film. Did you ever take pictures with film? Now, he was reminiscing of walking into photography stores and how he would see racks and racks and racks of film. And he's reminiscing about the photo sessions and how they used to be, and talking about how he would take pictures, but he wouldn't be able to see them in the moment. He couldn't review how they looked. You couldn't look at them and go, "Oh no, that's not a good one. Take it again. My eyes are closed," or "Take it again. My smile wasn't good," or "Take it." No, you just took the pictures, and then when the photo session was done, you would take that film and you would head to the dark room. And when you get to the dark room, you would begin the process of development. 11 minutes. 11 minutes later, you could see the beauty that was created when you were doing that photo session with those people. 11 minutes seems crazy in an Instagram world. 11 minutes seems crazy when you've got this camera and phone built into one, and the moment I take a picture, I can see it. I can take a burst of pictures, and I can see it. I can go from picture to post in less than 10 seconds if I want to. All you people who kind of post pictures daily, you wouldn't know what to do with yourself. You wouldn't do yourself when there's a minimum of 11 minutes to see what you actually did. The process of development would drive you crazy. But I get it. I get it. We are not wired for waiting. You know, Skip, I'm sure, didn't think twice about it back in the day when he would have to do the whole film and darkroom thing. But now, living in a digital age, I'm sure there would be pain in the waiting. Now, if you're just joining us today, you're kind of wondering, why am I talking about photography? Why am I talking about cameras? Well, the deal is, we're in the middle of a series called In the Waiting. And I've been talking about how we are not good at waiting. We'll avoid waiting at all costs, do anything that's possible. That's why we honk our horn at cars that aren't going the pace that we want them to go. It's why when we walk into a store, we look for the shortest line. That's the one I want. It's why when we call somebody, they don't call us back quick enough, then we will call them again. This is what we do. We don't wait well. But the problem is waiting is just part of life. We cannot avoid waiting. And so if we can't avoid waiting, then we shouldn't talk about how to wait less. We should talk about how do we live in the waiting. And so that's what we've been doing. So we talked about the Israelites and how they waited. We talked about Elijah last week and how he waited. And today we're going to talk about another person who waited 15 years. Years to experience all that God had for him. 15 years he had to wait to experience all that God had for him. The man we're going to talk about today is a guy named David. Now, you may know him or remember him mostly by saying King David. But that's how things ended. It's not how things began. And it was not to be expected. David, it wouldn't have crossed his mind that he was going to be king. But that's how it turned out. That's how it turned out, but it didn't happen overnight. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at David's story, his life, and see what we can learn from him and how he waited. Because when you look at the picture of his life, you go, okay, yeah, I can be like that guy. And I think last week, story time with Pastor Scott turned out okay. think people like a little story time with Pastor Scott, so we're going to go into that again. But this time we're going to go to 1 Samuel, and we'll start in chapter 15. Now, Samuel was an incredible man of the Old Testament, prophet that God used in just amazing ways, and he was used in David's life. And so here we are in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and the year is 1046 BC, and the king of Israel is Saul. Saul, not to be confused with Paul and Saul, but Saul as in the first king, but the problem is his reigning of king didn't last forever. And I don't mean by life, I just mean something happened while he was reigning where God needed to let him know because of disobedience that his reign of being king was going to end. And this is where we see Samuel, because this is how it went down. Saul began to be disobedient, and so God speaks to Samuel and says, I need you to go to Saul, and I need you to tell him because of his disobedience that his reign of king is going to end, basically quicker than he thought it was. And Saul is so upset, but God had made up his mind. His disobedience was going to take him out of that seat of leadership. So that part of the job was done, but Samuel's job was not done. Because after he told Saul this is going to end, God says to Samuel, now this is what I want you to do. I'm going to use you to go and find and anoint the new king for the future. So this is where we go to 1 Samuel 16. And this is what it says. God tells Samuel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. So God's identified where he's going to go, and there's going to be a son there, and a king there of one of Jesse's sons. And now Samuel has to go and execute. So he's got his orders, and he begins to go to Bethlehem. Now when he gets there, Jesse brings out his sons one by one by one, but there's a problem. As he sees these sons, none of them seem to be right. None of them seem to be right. Like, not you, not you, not... Do you have any other sons? He asks the dad, and the dad's like, well, I do. I've got my youngest, but he's just a shepherd boy, and he's off in the field. Go and get him. Actually, we're not going to sit down until you go get him and bring him back. So that's what they did. They take off. They go get this boy, bring him in, and as he arrives, Jesse introduces his son David to Samuel. And in that moment, when he walks in the room and he's introduced, God speaks clearly to Samuel. This is what it says in verse 12. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came down powerfully on David. Now, let's pause there for a second, okay? Like, this is pretty incredible. To go from shepherd to anointed king, like, how would you respond to that? Like, how would you respond to this? You're a young, good-looking kid. You're the youngest of all the brothers, and you weren't even originally invited to the party? No, you weren't even thought of as an option for this? And here you're being anointed with oil, signifying the anointing of God on your life to be the king over the nation of Israel. How would you respond to this? Now I know how some of you respond. I've hung out with you before. You've just been anointed with oil, and you still have a little oil coming down the head. And you grab that camera, and you'd put it up, and boom, selfie. You'd be like, look at this, boom, selfie, and you'd hashtag next king. You'd hashtag big time. You'd hashtag I got next. Because all of a sudden, it's like, look at me. Look at me. Little oil. Look at this shot. I got next. No, this is a huge deal that Samuel has declared that David's life is never going to be the same. That his life is going to change. He's moving on up in the world. All of a sudden, you have a strut to you. You would. You'd have a strut to you. You'd have a little bit of something with you. You're like walking by the brothers going, what's up? What's up, boys? You know who the man is. Like, this is how some of us would respond to this. I'm not naming names. I'm just saying we've hung out before. You know you. Some of you, you'd handle it great. You'd be perfect. But I know some of you others. But is that how the story goes? That's not how the story goes. Do you know what happens next? It's pretty big time. You know what happens next? I'm just kidding. It's not big time at all. He goes back to being a shepherd boy. I'm anointed king, but I'm going back to be the shepherd boy. Like, this doesn't make sense. His waiting begins in his life. Like, you think you've waited for something before, right? Like you can see what needs to happen in your life, but you're waiting. You know, you have vision for what it needs to be. Something's been promised to you. You can just see it, but there's not the fruit of it in your life, and so you're waiting. Like, right now, you may have a vision of, like, that's what I want to happen, but it's not. Why isn't it? You know, I get it. I've been there before. I've been on the other side of this. Understand. And David definitely knows what it's like to say, this is what I see happening, but I'm not experiencing it right now. So how does David's life give us a picture of how to wait? Well, we look and we go, the 15-year journey for David begins. As it begins, we can relate to him because we say, this isn't easy. Any of you waiting right now and you're like, this isn't easy? Anybody right now just is like, yeah, but I know the end of David's story. But David didn't know the end of his story. Yeah, we can look back, but think about David in this moment. It is not easy. And maybe for you right now, the waiting isn't easy. But can I tell you, it had to happen, and here's why. David had to sit in the waiting for 15 years because something in him had to be developed now in order for him to be the king God needed later. David had to sit in the seat of waiting for 15 years because God needed to develop something in him now so he could be the king he needed later. This was important for David. Let's go back to where I started today. 11 minutes. 11 minutes. We don't want to wait. The 11 minutes it takes to develop a picture. No, when we tasted the instantaneous, we don't want anything else. When we taste the instantaneous, our desire for that grows more. It begins to grow in every area of my life. When we settle for the instantaneous, we decide we don't want to experience something that's fully developed. I believe that God's created all of us on purpose for a purpose. If you're part of our church, you know that's something I believe deeply. God has created you on purpose for a purpose. But there is no guarantee, there is no promise that that is going to be experienced today. And I think for most, if not everyone, we all have to own the fact that there's some developing that needs to happen in my life before we experience what God really has for our life. But here's what happens. Hear me on this. I think the truth is we have to go through that, but this is what happens. Our lack of willingness to wait, our lack of willingness to be developed comes in between us and our experiencing all that God has for us. David waited 15 years. 15 years. 15 years David waited, and a lot of stuff happens in that 15 years. You know, a ton of stuff. You ever heard the name Goliath before? David and Goliath, that happens in this 15-year period. That battle goes on while he's waiting to be king. After he beats Goliath, he's invited into service into the service of King Saul. Picture this. Samuel's anointed me. It's not happening. I'm going back to be a shepherd boy. I defeat Goliath, the Philistines, for these people who are scared, and now King Saul invites me to serve him. King Saul invites me to serve him, the one that I, He's sitting in my seat that's supposed to be for me, that's been declared for me. Now I got to serve that guy? That's what happens. And then you continue to look at his life, and you see that over time, Saul becomes really jealous of David. And so for years and years and years, David is trying to run and hide. David's trying to go and get away from Saul because he's trying to kill him, even to the point of going and finding a cave and sitting back in that cave because he doesn't want to be found, because Saul wants to get rid of David. Over the 15 years, David does a bunch of stuff, and the king's against him. And this isn't how it's supposed to be. Have you ever said that in your life? This isn't how it's supposed to be. You wake up tomorrow, do you say, this isn't how it's supposed to be? I thought there was supposed to be more. This is not what I pictured. I know what I want. How do I get there? And King David, he was promised something. He's promised something. And now he finds him running from the man who wants to kill him. And that man is sitting in the seat that's supposed to be his. Waiting is terrible. Waiting is terrible. When you have a picture of what you want. But then we see at the end of 1 Samuel, the Israelites are in a battle, and there is King Saul, and the Philistines are overtaking him. And he knows what's next, and he tells his armor bearer, I need you to kill me before they take me. I need you to kill me before they take me. And that's what happens, which leads to 2 Samuel starting out with now David is able to take the seat that was given to him 15 years ago through a prophecy. But now he can actually walk it out 15 years. I don't know what God's plans are for you. I don't know what his plans for your life are. I don't know what you think should be happening while you're still waiting. But I will say with confidence that each and every one of us have some developing to go through until we experience the next. The question is, are you willing to go through that waiting? Are you willing to go through the development period? Are you waiting to forgo? Are you willing to forgo the instantaneous so you can experience the fully developed vision that God has for your life? Are you willing? If you are, then I want us to look at David's life together. If you're not, you've still got some things to work through. If not, you need to wrestle with that with God. But if you're willing to go through, I want to look at David's life, because maybe looking at his life, there are some things that God developed in him that you can see that God's trying to develop in you, and you'll be willing to go along with this and say, okay, I see what God's doing, because David's life gives a picture. Because I think there's four things in the story I see with David in this waiting period that God had to develop that David was going to need later. So let's just jump into that, okay? God needed to develop David's, here's the first one, character. God needed to develop David's character to experience what he had for him down the road. If you look at David's life, you'll see as a king that he's going to be tested over and over and over of the person that he was, the character that he had. See, God had declared that David had a heart after his, but it didn't mean he had the maturity of character to back that up. And so David had all these moments over 15 years. All these opportunities over 15 years to work on the person that he was going to be. And it would be tested over and over and over. Think about the battle with Goliath. Think about the battle with Goliath. That took courage. That took passion. That took a grit. That took confidence. That took something in him that this moment was a character building moment to see who David was going to be. Kings had to be warriors and leaders in the midst of tough times. And you never know how you'll respond to a tough time until you go through it and something is built up in you. Will you run towards the problem or will you run away from the problem? Are you going to run towards what you need to battle with, or are you going to run away from it in fear? David had an opportunity to build that character that he would need down the road. I think he had that big moments like that. But I think he had smaller moments that we never even saw, never was written about, where he had an ability to decide, this is the person I'm going to be. In waiting periods, our character gets to be tested. Our character gets to be grown. And these moments are necessary and valuable times for what will come. So right now, are there moments in your life where your character is being tested and how you walk through these moments are going to open doors for the next, or they're going to keep you away? Are these moments going to build something in you, or are you going to avoid them? And that part of you is never going to be grown, and you won't have that character built to grab a hold of when you're in tough times down the road. In order to experience the next that you're waiting for, I think God needs to develop character in you that's not there right now because of what's to come. But it's not only character. I think God needed to develop David's wisdom. I think he had to develop his wisdom. There's a story in David's life that I think a lot of people know, and it kind of grabs a hold of me. For some reason, I just picture it. And I wonder what I would do. Saul is running after with an army to get David. He's got some people with him. And so, like I said, he's up in the hills, and he finds a cave, and he goes to the back of the cave. Well, Saul is tracking along, trying to find him, but he has to stop and go to the bathroom. He goes into the cave. The cave that David is in, and now Saul's in a vulnerable seat. David has the opportunity to take him out and take his place in what he wanted. But was he going to do it? Was he going to do it? His opportunity was right there in front of him. God had been working on his character, but in these moments he had to work on his wisdom. Was the timing right to take that now or not? David had to learn the difference between his wants and his timing and God's wants and God's timing. And God would speak to him. It's like, this is not the right time. And David had the wisdom and the character to not take his shot right there. Saul leaves the cave, and they're still in that same situation that Saul is going after David to take his life. And when David could have taken Saul's, he had the character and wisdom to not do that. This is why I think wisdom's important. I don't think God wanted to put David in a situation that would destroy him, that would be bigger than the wisdom that he had grown into. I think that God doesn't put us in the next position because he knows that what's grown up in us isn't enough to sustain what was going to come his way. And so while you think you're waiting and this is terrible, God's growing wisdom in you so you can handle what's going to come and it won't destroy you, because God does not want to put you into anything that will be too much and destroy the person that you are. So David had his character grown, had his wisdom grown, and then the third thing, I think God needed to develop his reputation. It wasn't just his character and wisdom. He had to develop his reputation, because David's ability to lead later as king came down to the willingness of people to follow, right? You're only as effective in your leadership as people are willing to follow. And David had to prove himself. So I'm looking at 1 Samuel 15 through 31. If you want to read that whole section, you just got a little bit with Pastor Scott's story time. If you want to read that whole thing, you'll see that he had opportunities after opportunities to prove himself. To prove his courageous way of living. He had opportunity to prove his willingness to follow Saul as a servant. You don't think people were watching all these moments? People later would think, should I follow David if he wasn't even willing to follow Saul when he was in my position? Should I follow David when he didn't show courage? No. As he was walking through life, God was building his reputation as he lived out his character and wisdom that God was growing in him. And so when it was his time, people would say, that guy's got a voice in my life. That guy's worthy to be followed. I've seen what he's done in battle. I'll follow that guy. I see how he's handled conflict. I'll follow that guy. God was growing his reputation as he was developing him into the leader he was to be. He needed to develop that reputation so when it's time to pass on the kingdom, people would go, yes, I will follow that guy. So once again, I don't know what you're waiting for right now, but is there parts that God is growing your character, God is growing your wisdom, but he's also growing your reputation, what people think, that people are watching you. How does this person handle life? As you handle it well, reputation grows and grows, and you don't know what opportunities are going to come your way. You don't know the path of where you're going to land. You don't know what's next, but I'll tell you this, someone who doesn't have a good reputation doesn't have a lot of open doors in life. Doesn't have a lot of ability to reconcile relationships in life. Doesn't have the ability for people to look and say, I believe in that person. I love that person. I think that person is for me. Like your reputation grows and shrinks. It develops as you live life the right way. And maybe God is walking you through it. Now you're waiting. I'm still developing how people view you. So God developed David's character, needed it his whole life. God was developing David's wisdom, needing it his whole life. Developing his reputation so he could walk in what was next. And the last thing is that God was developing David's relationship and dependence on God. This may be last, but it is not the least. It may be last, but it's not the least important. If you're going to have something foundational for what you're waiting for, why not take moments while you're waiting to lean into a relationship and dependence of God? See, here's the deal. David was going to be king, but who was going to be David's king? David was going to be king, but who was going to be David's king? See, if you've been with us the last few weeks, I've told you every week that I'm going to push you in something. That while you're waiting, who is going to be your leader? Who sets the pace? Who makes the calls? Who gives direction? When we are in the waiting, we get impatient and we want to take back control. Forget it. Life isn't working out. I'm going to call the shots now. And life is against me. I'm going to go back against life. I'm not getting what I want. I'll make it happen. And I'll walk over people. I'll push people aside. I begin to take control. And God essentially saying, I don't trust you. God wants to deepen our dependence and relationship on him. And David had to decide that though he was king, he needed to have a king over him. Even though David was going to be king of a nation, that didn't push God out of his seat of being king over everything. And David's decisions reflected how he lived that out. There were moments when David did not do this well. There were moments that David forgot who was the king of his life, who was the true king of everything, and the byproduct was a mess. Think of Bathsheba, Bathsheba's husband. This is not a good moment in David's life. He decided to take things in his own hand and he became the king versus being a king under the king. But you have to look at David's life and say majority of his life, David understood who was the king. And so I believe over the 15 years of his waiting, his relationship with God grew exponentially. I believe David saw the hand of God at work. I believe he learned the voice of God more and more. I believe he learned God's faithfulness and to trust him. It was deepening. He needed this to accomplish the plan that God had for him. Can I tell you today, God wants more for you, but even more than that, he wants a relationship with you. He wants you to learn how to depend on him. Learning dependence is important for every aspect you will go through for the rest of your life. You want what's next? You don't want it before you learn to trust God, to depend on God, a deeper relationship with God. You don't want that more. Trust me. You don't want to bypass this to get to something else you want. This is the key to life. And so while you're waiting, even just right now, like getting back to normal, what we call normal, how much have you spent in worshiping? How much have you spent in prayer? How much you spent in scripture? When you've had those extra moments because you can't do a lot of things, have you leaned into a relationship that deepens with God? Or have you wasted this time? Waste it no more. God wants to develop fully your dependence and relationship with Him. Don't let another moment go by. Now, I think if David had been crowned king too soon, we would have seen a different picture of David. The David that's acclaimed, the greatest king of all the history of the nation of Israel, we wouldn't have the same picture. But he waited and God developed. And what I want to say to you today, what I want to push you into today is that you will say to God, hear me on this, while you are waiting on your next, that you'll say to God, I'm willing to be developed in any way that you want me to be developed. What I need us to say is, I need whatever you have for me, and I'm here to be molded into the person you want to develop. If we don't take these waiting periods and say, God, develop me, then you're going to want it later and you're going to say, I wasted amazing moments of waiting when God could have done so much. That how about instead of trying to create the moments that push you on, you trust God with the moments. You trust God that His timing is right. You trust God that He knows when the moment will be. You know in life that when you look back and you realize that you didn't see the bigger picture and you're like, oh, that's why that need to happen. That is happening in your life right now. And we need to trust God that He sees the greater picture and will know when the moment is right. That you can trust that God has something for you. That He created you for something. But are you willing to sit and wait and say, God, I trust you so much that I'm just going to be here and let you develop in me what you need in order for me to get where you need me to go? Some of you are frustrated because you want something in life. It's not happening. And I don't have the answer. All I do is I look at David's life and I say, I know God needed to develop David's character. I know that God needed to develop David's wisdom. I know that God needed to develop his reputation. I know that God needed to develop his dependence on him before he could experience being a king. Because if he didn't, it wouldn't have turned out the way it needed to turn out. And I thank God that he knows what we need and that he's willing to love us enough to build up those areas of our life so we can handle what his vision is fully for our life. I want to end today by reading a psalm to you. And the reason I want to read this psalm is because I think it gives a picture of who David was. Who he was as king, and I want you to pay attention to the last line. David's on the other side of the waiting, and this is what he writes. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Wisdom, character, just see these things. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord is this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Relationship. All the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and ask and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. So teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. Get this, it's ending. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. You think David had learned? Do you think those 15 years were valuable? Do you think David was ready to be king after that more than ever? God's got something for you. God's got something for you. I don't know what it is, but I know that I trust him that it's the best thing for you. But while you wait, will you grow in character? Will you grow in wisdom? Will you allow him to grow your reputation? Will you grow in your dependence of him so you'll be able to be ready to walk in what he has for you? Things are happening. Trust God. Maybe today you're watching and you are doubting and doubting and doubting. You're not sure where God fits in your life right now. Can I ask you, this is a moment you can just say, God, okay, I'm going to take David's life, I'm going to apply it to myself, and I'm going to say, I trust you. It's hard, but I trust you. Maybe you want to give your life back to God and say, I've taken control, but I'm giving it back to you, God. And maybe just say, develop me. Maybe you're sitting on the other side right now and you want to say that to God. And it's just, it's a way to be interactive. There's maybe in the comment section, just say, God, develop me. Maybe the cry of your heart is, God, I want what you have for me, but I know you have to develop me. God, develop me into the person. I give you my life right now. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you simply, all you have to do is just say, God, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you gave your life for me, and I'm giving my life to you. In response to what you did for me, forgive me. Here's my life. Do what you want. You have that opportunity this morning. But even as followers of Jesus, we get off track. We start doing our thing, and maybe God wants to grab a hold of you and say, "Will you let me do what I want to do in and through your life? But I got some work to do. So God, develop me." Heavenly Father, I'm still yours. You've brought me to this place, but I know you have more, so I'm yours. Grow my character, grow my wisdom, grow my reputation, and grow my dependence and relationship with you. God, I want all of it because I want all that you have for me. And God, you see your people sitting in their homes and their vehicles and on vacation. You see where they are. And God, will you grab a hold and may they just say, God, develop me, grow me, I am yours. God, we want what you want for us. And to experience that, we give you ourselves today. It's your name we pray. Amen.